Well, now that we've established that I'm older than dirt, it is a privilege to be back in Cross Lanes. I have many wonderful, wonderful, good memories of being here and our time here, and of course the many years you folks have stood by us and with us in the ministry. And as Brother Joe mentioned, that it's our ministry. That's not really true. It's our ministry, because as we're going to see today, it takes the folks back home in order to keep us on the field as well. I'm going to ask if you would please to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. As you're turning, I'd like to brief you a little bit about why a deaf ministry. April 15th, 1817, the first deaf school was built in Hartford, Connecticut. In that school, they decided to use the language that was most common with the deaf, and that was sign language. As education developed, and this is nothing against the educators, I think they really thought they had the best idea, they decided to make education an oral education, whereby the students were taught to sit on their hands and not allowed to use any motion or any kind of gesture in their speaking. The idea was to teach them to read lips and to speak with their own voice. By the way, the term deaf and dumb is long antiquated. We know dumb does not mean stupid. It means cannot speak, as we speak of dumb animals. And yet at the same time, that part's not really even true. If you'd come to our church and see one of our activities, you know the deaf have no problems with their voice. They definitely can use their voice. They simply cannot speak and share as we would in normal language. And so little by little, the education for the deaf changed from sign language into oral education. Even when we went to Mexico in 1983, many of the deaf were still being taught strictly in an oral school. The only problem we have found with that is, in almost 45 years of working with the deaf, we only know just a handful of those who ever really conquer lip reading and speaking. Those who get it, get it. And it's wonderful. They're able to live in our hearing world, basically speaking. And yet at the same time, the vast majority of the deaf never learn to read lips. Now, come with me, if you would, to Mexico, and every man has a mustache. Many of them large, I mean, now read the lips, and that makes it that much more difficult in Mexico. As we think about deafness in Scripture, we could turn to Mark chapter 7, where Jesus Christ healed a deaf man. And I insert this here to show that Jesus Christ himself had an interest in deaf people. They brought unto him one that was deaf. We're told that there was a large crowd that gathered. Jesus was not really ready to start his healing ministry. He was trying to mentor his 12 disciples at this time, but he stopped after touring around through Decapolis and other areas. He stopped and the whole throng came at him. And one of the folks they brought was a deaf man. In those days, by the way, not too far back, sometime shortly after Adam, Pastor. Back in those days, many folks thought that a deaf person was mentally ill. They had some kind of real problem. Up here just didn't work. Today we know that's not true, and yet many folks still get the idea that the deaf are all deaf mentally retarded, are all deaf, they can't learn, and that simply is not true. But Jesus, they brought unto him one that was deaf, and Jesus took the man aside. Many times Jesus healed in the multitude, stretch forth thy hand, take up thy bed and walk, but he took this man aside. Do any of you remember the passage, Mark chapter 7? And Jesus turned to the man without a word and said, in other words, Jesus was saying, I know you're not crazy. I know you're not uneducable. I know that you can understand me. We just need to get... And the deaf man... And the Bible says Jesus placed his finger on his tongue. If you read the rest of the story, you'll find out that the scriptures say the man's tongue, the string was loosed after Jesus healed him. We believe that the little string, and some of you doctors can help me here, the little string under the tongue was too short. We would say he was tongue-tied. And so Jesus touched his tongue. The next thing it says is, and he spit. Boy, now that just doesn't seem like that fits in Scripture with Jesus, does it? I'll explain it in just a minute. We do remember that Jesus spit on the ground and made mud and placed it on the eyes of a blind man to heal him. But here it doesn't say Jesus did anything about it. Why? I would recommend you not try to do it this morning, but if you were tongue-tied, you can sort of mimic that by placing your finger on your tongue. When your tongue does not move, you can't talk. Something else you cannot do, you cannot spit. And so Jesus, to the deaf man, and the deaf man, see, Jesus was relating to him in an area that he could understand. He could not spit. His tongue would not move. He could not spit. And Jesus sighed, pointed unto his Father in heaven, I believe simply to show, remember the deaf are visual, to show the man, I'm asking my Father to do the healing. And he cried, Ephphatha. And that word means be opened. If you've ever been around someone with hearing difficulties, especially if they became deaf at a young age, you'll know that hearing aids don't solve the problem. That may help in their life, but they don't know what the noises are. The first time they hear a bird sing, they don't know it's a bird. When you speak a word, if they became deaf at a very young age, they don't know what that word is. But amazingly, our Savior, when he healed the deaf man, it says, and he spake, he heard, and he spake clearly. When Jesus healed him instantly, he not only got the hearing part of it, but he got the understanding part of it. He knew what all the sounds were, and he spake clearly. What a tremendous message from the Word of God. And yet that's not where we're going this morning. When a child becomes deaf prior to age 3, those of you who have children or grandchildren know what I'm talking about. Prior to that, you might get a word out or an idea out or some means of communication they might use, but they don't have the language yet. And somewhere between 3 and 4, maybe 4 and a half, it all begins to come together, and amazingly, in God's creation, they get language. They know what verbs go with what pronouns. They know how to put the object in the sentence, and it all starts to function correctly. Yet the only problem is, if a person becomes deaf prior to age 3 or 3 and a half, they have no language. Now that's important for us. We're going to read a passage here. That's an important thing to keep in mind. If someone has no language, scientists tell us today, they would have difficulty forming thoughts. Why? Our words are what form our thoughts, for those of us who are hearing. You have no language. The only language of the deaf in their own self is visual. They explain what they see with their eyes. And so it's very, very important that the deaf have a visual presentation. I'd like to share a little bit with you this morning. Look to Romans chapter 10. Many of you probably have memorized several of these verses. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You probably have used this in witnessing to someone. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why we went to Mexico, that the deaf could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. What a thrilling thought to begin to explain someone the gospel and see their eyes light up. And they begin to understand, and they realize for the first time in their life, God really will forgive their sins if they call on Him. But verse 14 tells us there is a little problem there. Because it says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? You know, the One big major difficulty we found when we went to Mexico was our deaf knew nothing of the Bible. They knew who Moses was. You and I knew him as Charlton Heston in the movie Ten Commandments. That's all they knew. I'm not joking. They didn't know David. They didn't know any of the prophets. They didn't know the stories. Some of them had a real vague idea of Adam and Eve, a twisted story of that. But they didn't know Scripture. Excuse me. Went the wrong way, didn't I? So how in the world are they going to call on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? They don't believe. And I believe it's true even today. My mother used to say, he that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I personally believe today when we deal with someone, we need to give them Scripture so they might believe, not simply go through the motions with us. And so folks need to believe in order to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. But our deaf knew nothing about what they're supposed to believe. Oh, I believe what they've told me all my life. That wasn't salvation. That wasn't belief in the Word of God. And so our first job was to establish this book as the foundation of all that we believe. I hope you're here today knowing and trusting that this book has the answers for everything in your life. They're not always easy answers, but this is our manual for living, the Word of God. And so our deaf didn't know how to believe. They didn't know what they were supposed to believe. One of the biggest problems, I say problems, one of the biggest differences that we found with our deaf coming to our church is they said, you don't have any idols. You don't have any paintings. How can you worship God? This is so different from anything that they knew. Their only rendition of Jesus was hanging on a bloody cross, and they seem like they really enjoy ramping that up, really making it a very bloody scene with Jesus on the cross. And yet we know our cross is empty. We relish the cross not because, yes, Jesus died there on the cross, and that's important, but Jesus rose again the third day. So they didn't know what to believe. So how in the world are they going to call on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? They don't even know what they're supposed to believe. Now look at the next little section. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Oh, as you know, probably half of all the men and women in Mexico have the name Jesus, Jesus. Often they'll use Maria de Jesus, Mary of Jesus. You'll even find men who have Mary's name in their official name. They knew the name Jesus, and they knew this Jesus on the cross, but they didn't know our Jesus. They had no idea that this same Jesus Christ, if they called upon Him, would forgive their sin. If you've ever dealt with anyone who has not been saved and had no idea of the gospel message, you'll find that they're amazed to learn that Jesus is willing to forgive them of their sin. And yet, is that not what we're put on this earth to tell folks? To tell them that Jesus Christ loves them and wants to make a way for them to live with Him eternally. And so they need to believe in order to call upon the Lord. Call? Well, yes, they must call upon the name of the Lord, but they must believe. They've got to have the truth in order to call upon His name. And how in the world are they going to believe if they've never heard? We've gone several different places in Mexico. God's been good to us, and this is one of the things that really frustrates us now. We are very limited at this particular point in history because of all the drug activity. There is still a warning from the American Embassy. You can go on and look online and see it. Not recommended that you drive anytime in Mexico. If you go, the embassy says you need to fill your tank in Texas. You need to drive where you're going and do not stop at a gas station or a rest area or for food. Go straight where you're going and get with the family or whatever you're wanting to do. Our problem is to drive. It's 15 hours to Guadalajara. You can't do that on one tank, or my car won't anyhow. One tank of gas, and we're certainly going to need a rest area or something to eat or whatever. They also say, if you can avoid driving in Mexico, do not drive. Why? Well, they've come up with a thing called a mobile roadblock, and that is the bad guys will pull up with three or four pickup trucks. There may be several men in a pickup truck. One will pull in front, one will pull behind, one pull beside. What happens at that point? You never know. So, we're not able to go out into the many, many areas that we had desires and had prayed over and just really thought God was going to send us out. Several of those cities have been officially closed. No one in, no one out. For months at a time, sometimes years at a time. But God has blessed us that several times we've been able to go out on these trips. One was about 10 hours away. We went up in the mountains of Mexico. We live in the mountains on the west coast. These were the mountains on the east coast. So in your mind, if you don't know Mexico, just sort of think our Rocky Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains. So we went over in the Appalachian Mountains and found about 100 deaf who lived in a large valley area who were the original descendants of the Aztec. None of them had ever been to school. Normally, when deaf people don't have a sign language, they invent their own. I remember in Chattanooga, I went to visit a little boy, and his mom asked him, "You want to do this tomorrow?" And I thought, I don't think I've ever seen that sign. She said, "That's what we use for a tie, because it's the only time when he goes to church, that's the only time he has a tie on. So he knows this means going to church." Those are called home signs. And normally the deaf invent their own signs if they don't know the real sign language. We found these deaf did not communicate one from the other. And yet some of them lived within sight of the other one. And yet they all existed in these villages with no communication. One boy was 9 years of age. The oldest man was 40 or 42. Because of my age, I don't remember, Pastor. 40 or 42, somewhere in there. Here was a man who'd worked all of his life, and his fingers were hard and difficult, and he tried, like everything, to try to learn signs, and he was unable to do so. God allowed us to reach some of those folks, but you have to realize the slate of their mind was empty. They had no communication. The only thing they'd ever done was point at something. They didn't know their own name. Worse than that, they didn't know they had a name. They had no concept. All they knew was to point. Now, if you can imagine, we started off trying to teach them who God is. Try that in a theology class with no words and no signs. And so we started very, very simply and were able to take them through Adam and Eve, how God created the world, all of creation, up to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve disobeyed and they sinned against God. And to cut a long, long, long story short, I'll share with you that several of those in that group and a later group that came, several of those came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, how? Little by little by little, we were able to teach them some signs. And by using a lot of visuals, we were able to share with them that Jesus Christ died for them. Now it was, I know the first time when we came back, one boy had asked Christ to be Savior. And I said, boy, I'm not going to claim that one. I just don't know. I don't know that they ever really, really understood the message. We went back several months later from Christmas to Easter. Went back several months later. We had a different group. Had the same original group, but then we had more. So there were different groups. So we had to start all over again from the beginning. Brought them up through to the last day. We presented salvation, their need for personal salvation. And I'm making this really sound simple, and it wasn't. But I'll explain in a minute. One little fella asked the Lord to save him in the first group. When we went back the second time, I got the salvation, and I was mentioning to all of them, maybe you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And one hand went up. I said, yes. And he said, I did that last time, right? I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, so I'm going to heaven. And I'll be very honest with you. I shook my head and I said, I had nothing to do with that. If he got the message, it was the Holy Spirit. There is just no way we had anything to do it. God did a miracle in that young fellow's life. But since then, several others came to know Christ as their Savior. But you see, they didn't know how to call on the Lord. Why? They didn't know what to believe. They had no communication. No one had ever told them that Jesus, their moms and dad went to church, but they didn't relate all this together. Someone needed to tell them about Jesus, the real Jesus. And they heard. Now, I'm not being funny. They heard through signs, but they heard with their heart who Jesus Christ was and what He did for them and how He died for them. And if they would ask Him to forgive them, He would be their Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that true among deaf folks and even deaf folks without a language? Yes, if you read the rest of the verse. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Well, they need to believe in order to call. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You know, maybe I believe something, but I've never heard about it. How can I possibly believe in it? So they need to hear the gospel. Then the last part of this verse says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I'm here this morning to tell you it's not about us. It's about Him. And by the way, I can start church heresy here this morning if you don't listen very carefully. Do you know the ladies can be a preacher in this verse? Now before you jump up and start to do something here, it means a messenger. It means you ladies can lead someone to the Lord just the same as a man. You don't have to be an ordained pastor in order to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful of that. We've had children, small children, tell others about Jesus Christ to the point they understood. Later we would quiz them and find out, yeah, they did a better job than we might have. Women, men, whoever, this means a messenger. And so how in the world are they going to hear if nobody ever tells them? So they need a preacher. Well, I argued with God when He first said He wanted me to be the preacher because I didn't think I had anything to offer to Him. And ended up myself, I don't. But I can tell you this morning, if you'll just get out of the way and let God, He'll do something with anybody. If you know Christ as your Savior, He'll use you somehow, somewhere, if you'll just get yourself out of the way and sort of the me, sort of put it in neutral and just say, God, I don't know how or when or where, but I would like for You to use me if You can find any way You can. God will do it. Because I forgot now who it was. It might have been Swindoll. Wrote a book a long time ago. Any old brick will do. You see, God's not too concerned about who you are as a brick. He wants someone that can be used to build something for Him. Verse 15 ties this church in to these verses. And how shall they preach except they be sent? I'm so thankful in 1981 and 82, and most of you weren't born yet, but anyhow, God allowed us to raise our support, and this church stood behind us and said, we're going to send the lanes out. How would the deaf in Mexico hear about Jesus Christ unless there was a church here to stand with us as a foundation and send us forth with the message that we might tell others? You see, this is what the gospel is all about. And you say, boy, you know, that works in Kenya, and that works in Ottawa, Canada. That works in Carriacou. That works in Mexico. That's great. What's that got to do with me? Are these verses in the Bible, in your Bible? Are they there? You see, this is God's plan, one way or the other. God would just love to use you. Several years ago, I won't go into all the history, but Glenn Matthews has been a good friend. Ann worked with Glenn. Matter of fact, Ann came to this church to help Glenn get a deaf ministry started here before Adam. many, many years ago to start a deaf ministry. And so, Ann said, no, she's not included. That's just me, okay? She's not included in that age. But she and Casey and Bill, and they all came here to help get this deaf ministry started along. So he's been a longtime friend of ours. We heard he was preaching over outside of Ironton. I'm from Ironton. And so I told Ann, let's go hear Glenn preach. We'd enjoy that. So we went over to hear Glenn preach after the service, the pastor and Glenn said, let's all go get pizza somewhere. And so we went out to the little local pizza shop there, and this little gal was scurrying around taking care of everybody in the restaurant. Wasn't not a big name pizza place. It wasn't a big restaurant. It was fairly small, but there were four or five tables, and she was taking care of everybody. Well, after a while, I noticed that the tables sort of all cleared out, and the gal pretty well relaxed a little bit, and so I caught her attention. I said, could I ask you a few questions? And she said, yeah. And I said, would you consider yourself a good person? And she said, no, I'm not. That's not what most people say. Most people say, well, I'm better than him. But she immediately, she said, no, I'm not a very good person. I said, well, God set a standard for us so we can measure ourselves. Would you mind if I just ask you a few questions? No, that's all right. I said, have you ever told a lie? Oh, yeah. Okay. I said, do you know what God says about lying? God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In simple words, that's lying, folks. And she said, nah. And I said, you know, God's told us what the standard is. Yeah. Well, let me ask you another question. Have you ever stolen anything? Yeah. I said, you know, it doesn't make a difference if it's small or big or whatever. God says, thou shalt not steal. And at that point, she was getting a little teary-eyed, and she was thinking over all this. And I said, have you always honored your father and mother? And she said, I don't have a father and mother. Well, I sort of thought, where are we? She said, my grandmother raised me. And I said, well, okay, well, I think the Lord would not be opposed to our saying, well, have you always obeyed your grandmother then? And she said, no. And I said, you know, Scripture tells us, honor thy father and thy mother. And at this point, the tears were starting to trickle a little bit down her face. And I said, you know, you've told me already, you've confessed. We've only looked at 3 of 10 commandments, but you've already confessed that you're a sinner, not by what I said, but by what you said. And she's agreeing at that point. And I said, but do you know what God did for you? And she said, I have no idea. Brother Gary, this wasn't deepest Africa. This wasn't South America. This was just a few miles down the road from here. And those were her words as close as I have no idea. And so I started telling her, well, you know, even though we've sinned, God loves us. And do you know what God did for you? She said, I have no idea. And I said, God loves you so much, He gave His Son to die on Calvary's cross. And at this point, she almost lost it. She was pouring the tears, and she said, nobody has ever loved me. Whew. This is not a 60-year-old woman that's been through everything under the sun. This was a young lady, 20, 21, I don't have any idea her exact age, but she was a young lady. She had no idea what God had ever done for her, and no one had ever loved her in her life. Do you know what the folks in this valley, in this state, in this tri-state area, do you know what the folks need? They need a preacher. Oh, we got a preacher. I don't mean that kind of preacher. Yes, we need that kind of preacher. But we need you and I as preachers to carry the message. Why? So that they can hear. Because when they hear, they might believe. Can't force it on them. But they might believe the truth that Jesus Christ died for them and wants to forgive their sins. And believing, then they can call upon the name of the Lord to be their Savior. Not all the people we run into are so fantastic and marvelous as these. By the way, at that point, literally, we'd been back about 2 weeks. And when she said, no one ever loved me, I know I sat there with my mouth open. I mean, I've dealt with hundreds of people about salvation. That little gal just knocked me clear off the chair. And Brother Glenn just very, very quietly, he said, come here a minute. And sat down and carried on from that while I was gasping for air, I imagine. But just not everyone we meet is quite like that or like the Indians in La Huasteca. But God has allowed us several times through our time in Mexico to find folks who had no language. What do? Well, we just leave them and let them go on. I don't believe so. Jesus cared for a deaf man. I remember several years ago now, a man in a hearing church. We had gone and was helping Brother Henson teach a sign language class there. And so this man in the church knew us through the church, a hearing church. And he called me one day and he said, "I wonder if you would come and talk to my dad." I thought, "Well, sure." And he said, "He's deaf." "Oh, well, sure, absolutely." And so as I got there, I was expecting to find a man that had grown up in Guadalajara. As I got there, he said, "My dad has lived in California for the past 16 years. So I really don't know if he knows American Sign Language or does he know Mexican Sign Language or if he reads lip or whatever. But God has just placed on my heart a burden that my dad needs to know about Jesus Christ." Boy, now this was the first experience we had of dealing with someone who did not know a language. So I started with American Sign Language, thinking California. So I started signing in American Sign Language, and when you've worked with the deaf, you realize that blank stare that, by the way, you do the same thing. Si yo empiezo de hablar ahorita en español y decir una cosa así, you all just look and sort of move your head a little bit. Well, you realize it's not going in. They're agreeing, but they have no idea what they're agreeing to. So I looked at it and I thought, okay, oral, maybe he reads lips. And so I started quoting scripture to him for him to read my lips in English. Nothing. Same. So I said, okay, well, maybe he, from his youth, maybe he learned Mexican Sign Language. And so I switched over to Mexican Sign Language and started talking to him. Spanish? That's all I got, four of them. I can't go any more than that. So I started quoting verses to him in Spanish where he could read my lips. I knew he didn't read at all. Nothing. And so this son said, "That's okay, Brother Lane. You know, we tried to do it." And I said, "Brother, I'm burdened here. We've got to do something." This was like a Thursday. And I said, "If you would allow me, I'll come back on Saturday. But you've got to promise that you're going to pray for me between now and Saturday, because I don't have any idea where to start." My deaf laugh at me when I draw on the board. You know, we illustrate messages, you know. And so I illustrate it and they guess airplane, a skyscraper, a tree, a donkey. I said, "Come on, folks, it's a little bit better than that, isn't it?" So I can't draw, okay? It's just, praise God for computers, because you can say that one and it's taken care of. Those days we didn't have that. So I sat down and drew some stick figures, basically the same idea of Adam and Eve and they sinned and God's not pleased. And so on Saturday I went back, scared to death. If you've not been in that situation, you can't imagine. But anyhow, I went back and I started showing him some of these pictures and explaining the scriptures, quoting them as well as I could in just mime, and explained the pictures. And after about a 45-minute, maybe longer, session there together with him, I said, "Would you like to ask Jesus?" He took my hands and said, "You sign for me." And I hope it was the Spirit. I said, "No, no, 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 no. You sign with your hands." This is a man who does not know sign language. We've got a good God. He said, two boys, one without Jesus, one with Jesus. Again, when I finished, I said, "Brother," speaking to the son of this man, I said, "I don't know, but I think your dad just asked the Lord to be his Savior." I say, I had nothing to do with that. God knows my heart this morning. I had nothing to do with that. It was absolutely the Holy Spirit teaching a man in a language that he didn't know and I didn't know. Only the Holy Spirit could reach him. His dad went back to California happy. As far as the son knew, he's walking with the Lord today. You say all that, why? They need a preacher. They need someone who'll tell them. Very few folks really are led to the Lord simply by a tract. It does happen. But most of the time, they need someone to share God's word with them. This same chapter in verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the word of God." Not by my skill at signing, not by my fancy words. It comes by the word of God. Are these important verses? Well, it certainly is important to the deaf. I believe they're important to us here this morning. Because you know, unless we tell somebody, they're not ever going to hear. I think you'd be amazed walking the streets of Cross Lanes here, how many folks have no idea what God's done for them. Oh, they know religion, but they have no idea what God's done for them. And unless we go, they'll not hear. By the way, if they don't hear the word of God, they'll never believe, or they won't believe in the right thing. And if they don't believe, they can't call on the name of the Lord. So you see, I think these verses really fit to us this morning. Now, I have two quick things to say. Number one, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, this same process goes to you. We would love to share with you this morning the gospel of Jesus Christ from His book. Not from our book of religion, but from the Word of God. Share with you what it means to ask Christ to be your Savior. If you're here this morning as a Christian, I challenge you. Are you also a preacher? Now, don't get all bent sideways there. I'm referring to a messenger. Are you willing to tell someone? Are you really ready to do whatever God would like you to do? If you are, God will amaze you with the opportunities He'll set before you. If you close the door, God can't very well use you. But if you just say, "Lord, I'm nothing, but I would really like for you to use me to tell God's word to someone else," He'll give you opportunities that you will not believe. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful we have your word. We in and of ourselves are absolutely nothing. And that's easy to prove, because when we get out on the branch all by ourselves, there's nothing there to help us. And yet, Father, we know that if we'll but just turn ourselves over to you, you will do the miracles in our lives that have nothing to do with us. And Malukum will just say, "Praise God. God is so good." Father, I'd ask that you touch our hearts this morning, and may each one of us be in tune with you, because we are to be witnesses, good or bad. We are witnesses for you. Help us to be one of the good ones, I pray in Jesus' name.